we can sit down and just say, okay, how are we going to handle this? What's our family plan for handling this? Here's what we're all going to do. We're all going to agree to wash our hands. We're all going to agree to not have the news on 24/7, but we're going to watch it together at this time, or whatever that looks like. And then it may be that you revisit the plan every morning because things are changing so fast.
Yeah.
You know, and say, does what we have in place still work? Do we need to adjust anything? How's everyone feeling?
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand, and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey, Four Chair friends, we are joining you from our homes today. We've never done this before, so if the sound quality is a little different, that is why. But with everything that's going on, we wanted to do an extra episode to especially talk about the coronavirus and how all of our lives have changed very quickly in the last few days.
Yes. We were just chatting right before we started recording and kind of sharing from our own perspective how this is impacting our lives, but we also begin to look at how it's impacting the lives of people globally. I mean, not just across the street, but across the world. So our confession question today is this: how is the coronavirus impacting your world right now?
For me, our church is completely canceled. That was a huge deal and decision to make. It was not made lightly. There was a lot of tears, a lot of crying, none of us have lived through this. So it's kind of a unknown as a leader making those kinds of decisions. From a mothering perspective, I've got two kids with asthma and who are now at home. So I'm homeschooling teenagers, so I'm calling on my little coworkers and they don't like to wear pants, but so it's really, I've got, B who's really, really aware and a slight germaphobe. And then I have other people in my family. This is not affecting them at all. You know, they're just like, what's going on? But then I have people who are really, really struggling with it and not happy about being stuck inside. And really, it's hard to keep them inside.
Yeah. What about you?
And I already work at home. So as far as schedule, it's not a huge adjustment. Although I do have a little routine where I go to coffee shops and write every morning. So that seems so insignificant right now. But I'm having a little trouble focusing, which is not always the case for me. And then our daughter is pregnant. She's having a little boy in July. And so, of course, I am concerned about her. And my family in Texas is close to an area where there's been quite a few cases. And so just thinking about them. And yeah, I think that we will mark this as kind of a before and after in the history of our culture, because we have never had to do anything like this before. And I have this sense of like, wow, this happened once. Something like this could happen again. Where before, in a way, it felt unthinkable.
Right.
And so I think just adjusting to the idea of a new kind of perspective on the world. So. Yeah.
Well, and I also work from home, but my husband doesn't. And so, because I've recently been through a major surgery, I suddenly can't go anywhere because I'm a little more compromised than I would be otherwise. And I didn't realize like working from home is such a treat and I love it until like I can't go out. and so I've been walking a lot. I can go outdoors, stay 6 feet away. I just can't go into places that I normally would go to. And then so I feel content. I feel that I want to be wise, but I'm not a worrier, but on the outside of that, I think about my grandbabies. I think about my dad who's 85 and who has a heart issue. I think about my mom who has asthma. I think about my kids, because my daughter traveled and came back home just right before this from a conference, and I'm praying a lot. Like I'm talking to the Lord a lot about this. And I think that I'm not alone in that at all.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to point out that even as an introvert, I am really struggling with not having the opportunity. I'm an outgoing introvert, so I love being around people. Yeah. So to have to limit it so much and to have these restrictions on you is a really big deal. It's hard for everybody. So I can't even imagine what the extroverts are feeling right now. The fear that everybody is feeling. There's just a lot going on, and there's like this overload of information. So I've had to be aware but limit my time online and watching the news because it's so much to handle. It really is.
Yeah, I've done the same thing. I've picked, okay, these are the sources I feel like are giving the best information and doing so in a reasonable way and checking in probably a couple times a day, because other than that, it's just too much. And I know some people can handle a whole lot more than that and feel the need to be up to date all the time. And I think if that works for you, it's fine. But I think it's also okay to say, you know what, I'm going to be proactive about how I stay informed and pick who I'm going to listen to.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's really important, Holly, because there's a difference between being a consumer, and we've talked about this in other episodes, and being consumed by something.
Yes, that's a great distinction.
Yeah, and right now the temptation is to be consumed by all of the news. So I want to be informed.
Right.
Man, I don't want to live in fear 24/7. And I'm not a fearful person, and I don't go to anxiousness except for I am feeling anxious. I am. And it's on big things. I think about, like I said, my own family. I think about the fact that my husband is meeting with clients because he's a counselor, and people are needing right now more than ever to talk to their counselors. So I'm kind of hounding him, you know, he comes home and I'm like, did you wash your hands between every visit? Did you wash down the doorknob? Did you? And that's not who I normally am. And so I'm kind of in new territory here.
Right.
Yeah.
Because aren't we all?
Yes.
Aren't we all?
Yes. This is all unknown. Well, I know from coming from a background of just being really fearful of every single thing and being anxious and really not knowing what to do with it. I didn't know that I had anxiety until much later in life. And so I'm looking at how I handled things and trauma as a child and all of those different things, even as a teenager. I wish I would have known what I know now. So I'm able to get a grip on the fear spiral, but But I still have it. Like I even texted you guys this morning and said, look, anxiety is a thing for me right now. Yeah. Just because there's so much, and I'm trying to help my family, all of them, through this and how to navigate it. And who knows? None of us know what we're doing. You know, we're just doing the best we can.
Yeah. And I think I want you to teach me your ways, you know?
Yeah.
And I think in this situation, fear and anxiety are healthy emotions because they're both protective emotions. It's the people who are not at all concerned. They're the ones who actually worry me.
Yes.
And so I don't think we say, how do I get rid of my fear and anxiety? I think we just say, how do I manage it?
Right.
You know? Okay, and I think that God doesn't ask us that of us, because he gave us brains that have this high alert system. And that's basically what we're experiencing. We're all on high alert. Yeah. And that is appropriate and helpful for us and others.
Yeah.
And so I think it's not saying I'm not ever going to feel fear. I'm not going to be anxious. I think it's just knowing that line that we each have where we know it. We know when we're crossing into a place where it's starting, like you said, Suze, to consume you, and then just taking a deep breath and saying, okay. And one thing, I did a Facebook Live about the different ways our brains respond to stress. So one is that fight or flight, but the next is a challenge response. So we can take a deep breath and say, what's one action I can take? Because that helps our brains. And then the third response is tend and befriend. So it's, who can I help? And so if we find ourselves getting stuck in fight or flight, those are two questions we can ask. What is one step I can take? And it can be really small, minute or less, even if it's just unloading the dishwasher, you know, and who can I help? Maybe texting a friend or checking in on a family member, something like that. So yeah, I think it's okay that we feel the way that we do. I actually think it's healthy
So and I'm asking this because I really need insight. What do we do when we have one family member who is not concerned at all and maybe a little bit of a rebel? And then what do we do when we have the other side of the spectrum, a family that's terrified and you're hearing nonstop, getting messages nonstop and calls nonstop, and I'm somewhere in the middle? Like, how do we navigate that without losing our minds? Because this is a challenge for me right now with the people
involved. Yeah. I'm trying to respect the approach that my own family members are taking. And so I have one that they went into isolation immediately and just said, "We love you, Mom. We'll see you in a few weeks." You know, so we're FaceTiming and we're doing that. And I want to respect that. I want to respect that protectiveness over those two little girls and the what they're saying. And then I have another that says, "Hey, they said that you can go do the essentials. So I'm going to go to Walmart and pick up some milk, or I'm going to do this." And I think everybody approaches it, as long as it's not like they're being completely like callous to other people, or they're just acting like it's not a big deal. It's a big deal. This is a big deal. But if they're maybe going at it in a little bit different direction than maybe I would, to respect that, as long as it's healthy, you know. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think within our own households, we can sit down and just say, okay, how are we going to handle this? What's our family plan for handling this?
Yeah.
And say, here's what we're all going to do. We're all going to agree to wash our hands. We're all going to agree to not have the news on 24/7, but we're going to watch it together at this time, or whatever that looks like. And then it may be that you revisit the plan every morning because things are changing so fast.
Yeah.
You know, and say, does what we have in place still work? Do we need to adjust anything? How's everyone feeling? You know, and just, I think within our households, that's one way. And then I agree, Suze, if it's someone outside your household, you know, just kind of listening and sometimes maybe saying, okay, what action are you going to take based on that?
Yeah.
Because I think that's where, when we get stuck in just that spiral, is when there's no action coming out of it. And so, so maybe just saying, what does that look like?
Yeah.
Well, as far as a small step.
Earlier, we were talking about, you know, part of a fight or flight response is to come alongside others. You know, that's a positive way to do. And I know that not every child that is staying home is going to have food. I know that not every child that is staying home is going to have a safe environment. And so to be able to look and find those organizations within your local area that says, we're delivering food on the school bus, you know, because that's happening locally, or we're doing this to help families. If you can at all, you know, contribute to that. And that can be $5. You know, we tend to think that we have to have something so big, but $5 times 1,000 people adds up really fast. And so look for the good going on around you. And if you can at all, become a part of that good.
Right. Yeah. I heard someone say, if there are local businesses you want to support and you can't go, buy a gift certificate from them online to help them kind of hang on until things get better, especially restaurants, you know, and the places that we normally love to go and just can't right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think about how this is affecting all forms of life. One of my grandsons was like, this means I'm not going to get a birthday party. And he doesn't part. It's really true. Or there's seniors that they may not get to walk across a platform or have a senior prom, or, and I know in the light of a pandemic, you might say it's not a big deal, but it is to a 17-year-old. It is to a 5-year-old.
It is. And I think it's taking away what was our normal. And so I think when the rug's been jerked out from underneath us, we're getting back up, but it's a wobbly, slow thing. Yeah. So I think everybody's trying to find their footing. And so it's grace upon grace right now with everybody. And so I've noticed the way that I'm talking to people, the way that I'm checking on people, just because I am a nurturer, but I can do that over the phone. I can send that email or I can send that text. So there's little things that I've been able to do for my people. And then for my family, I'm cooking, I'm cleaning a lot, and it's giving me a lot of peace because that's something I can control and help. Yeah. And I actually can cook. So who knew? I've always takeout girl. You guys know that. I always have to find a silver lining in this, but it's hard not to see the world and the people that we love so much taking really big hits right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was thinking earlier that besides fear, everyone's talking about fear a lot, but I think the other primary emotion is grief, yeah. You know, and it's grieving that graduation you're not going to, or that birthday party you're not going to get, or that job that may look very different when this is all said and done. And so I think it's okay to acknowledge that too, that the other helpful emotion that none of us want to experience, but that can help us is grief. And it's okay to say, you know, is we experience grief whenever we have an interrupted expectation. So we have expected to have a birthday party and we don't get to have it. We have expected to, you know, go to work every day and we don't get to go. We have expected to have our kids go off to school and be able to catch our breath for a little bit. And there they are, you know, whatever it is. And so I think that's the other thing. Again, not getting stuck in that grief, or, you know, that doesn't mean that we can't find the joy in it also. But I think it's okay to say, you know what? This is hard. I'm grieving, fill in the blank, and we will get through this, but that's a loss. And to not compare our losses to each other, to say, oh, that's no big deal in the scheme of things, but to say, you know what, this is a loss, and every loss is worthy of grief. And so I'm just going to acknowledge that.
Oh, it's so good, because I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, I've been saying it to you guys. I see normalcy. It's right there, you know, because after what Richard and I have been through the last 4 months, for those of you who don't know, he had a massive heart attack that we didn't see coming. He's a healthy guy. We thought he was a healthy guy. And it was a genetic thing. And then I found out I had cancer again. So he had a double bypass. I had a double mastectomy. And now 4 months later, like, I could see normalcy. It was right there. And all of a sudden, normalcy was just snatched from me. I am grieving that. And I think it's really empowering for you to say, acknowledge that. Yeah. Sit in that just for a minute and say, I am grieving that normalcy.
Yeah.
I know it's going to change. I know God is present. I see the beauty of what's happening even in the midst of this hard, hard place. But I do. I'm sad because I sat down yesterday and I canceled all the things that we had planned to celebrate having come through it, because we had to cancel them all when it happened before. So anyway, but you feel, I don't know the right word. I feel like this is so big and this is affecting so many people. Why do I even have the right to grieve that? That's not big. You know,
it's a letdown. I feel like right now it's that all of the things that we were looking forward to, like for me and my routine and the mundane and the everyday grind, to not have those things that I was looking forward to, have those all be canceled. That is something that we grieve. And like what Holly was saying, it's totally okay. And sometimes that's going to look differently. Like right now, you know, your kids might be cranky, or when you have a house full of people, you're going to see different responses and they're going to all process it differently. And we've got to just give each other room to feel those things.
Yeah. And I think that's important to note too, because anger is a secondary emotion. There's always underneath it something else. And one is unmet expectations. When we have a goal we're not able to meet, or, you know, fear actually can lead to anger. And so when we see the people in our lives being frustrated or cranky or mad, I think we can pause and also ask, okay, probably underneath that, there's either grief or fear. Yeah. And I think that can help us show a little more compassion, and to ourselves too. I mean, if we find ourselves being like, I'm done with all this, I'm done with all the humans, I'm done with everyone in the grocery store buying all the toilet paper, like, you know, that, yeah, that's another, just something we're probably going to feel, and it's okay.
Yeah, it is. You know, I was talking to my daughter yesterday by FaceTime with the boys, and I could just see it in her face. I mean, she's an amazing mom, but she has two energetic boys. Her husband's home full time. He's in a kind of a crisis, a job that meets crisis. And so he is like stretched thin, and he's trying to do that. She's a professor. She's trying to create online courses and teach from home. And then she has these two energetic boys that are bouncing off the walls. I could see it in her face, and I felt frustrated, because usually that's when I can go grab the boys and we go take a walk or something. I can't help them. I can't, you know, and that's hard too. And so we're in a new season where we're going to have to be really creative and flexible and open to maybe doing it in a whole new way.
Yeah. And I think just saying all the emotions are allowed.
Yeah.
You know, there's no emotion that isn't allowed, because they're all going to help us through this. That's why God gave us all of them.
Yes.
And so they're kind of like clouds, you know, you watch them and you're like, all right, there goes that, but they're going to just kind of come across the sky. And then reminding us too, it's also okay to feel joy or happiness. Yeah. You know, I've had moments where I've had a good moment and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't feel that way because everything's so hard right now.
Yeah.
You know, so Suze, you are the joy keeper. So what about that? Like, how do we, are we allowed to feel joy too? And if so, how do we do that?
You know, joy is always married in scripture. We don't do this in real life, but we should, we can. Joy is always married with what we know and in scripture. It's not measured. It's not married with our circumstances. It's married with what we know. And there's a beautiful word called, I believe it's nepis, and it sounds very much like your favorite word, Holly. It's nap.
Nap, there you go.
It stands actually for a deep rest that goes into your spiritual bones that gives you refreshment.
I
do too. And so knowing that there is deep spiritual rest that can go so deep into the marrow of your spiritual bones that is offered to us, that is something that we know. And out of that, regardless of our circumstances, we can find rest. We can find joy and walk in that. And so that's where this morning I was praying, as I was praying for that spiritual, and those who are theologians out there, just set me straight if you need to. Napis, but I think it's napis. We need to take a good napis.
And it's been raining nonstop here, but the sun came out a little bit yesterday, and we sat on our patio, and all the kids were out on their bikes, and the dogs were out with their people, and there's this puddle behind our house that these little boys kept running through with their bikes over and over and over. And like, it was just this moment of like, okay, you know, okay, like the birds are still making their nest. The kids are still playing. Like there's some sun peeking through the clouds right now. And it made me feel like I could take a deep soul breath. And then today it's raining again. And so, but it helped me to be like, all right, you know, this is now, but it's not forever.
Right.
And we individually are going to make it to the other side of us. Of this, and we as humanity are gonna make it to the other side of this.
Yeah. Well, I am so excited that we got to. Sorry about that, Jennifer.
Oh, you're good.
We're usually sitting side by side, and this is
reach out.
Different, but I look at this, and I do see people reaching toward each other. You know, the hashtag better together is really trending right now. And there's a reason, because people are reaching out and saying, are you okay? Hey, here's something I have. I'm a teacher. Can I offer you this? Here's something I have. Can I offer you this? Yeah. And maybe that's the most beautiful gift that's going to come out of this.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's the thing that's bringing me so much joy is watching everybody come together in real and tangible ways and taking action, not just saying, hey, I'm praying for you, but what can I bring and drop off on your doorstep? This is huge. People are taking action, and it helps us to not focus on ourselves and what we're feeling. And we feel a little less isolated and alone when we are doing and we're being the helpers and we're looking for the helpers. All of those things will feed our joy big time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, we hope that you will come to our Facebook group and share more with us. This is going to be a bonus episode because all of our episodes that we did this while this was still just a blip on the radar, and we didn't want you to think that we weren't aware that we're all walking into a new normal and that it can bring some anxiousness with it. So we hope that you'll come to the Facebook group, More Than Small Talk, and share your thoughts. If you need prayer, we're there.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.